You have your Bible. I'm going to give a short word of testimony, but I would ask you to turn with me, please, to Joel chapter 2. Strange little book, and yet a very important little portion of God's Word. Joel chapter 2, and just two verses that are particular relevant to my testimony. Joel chapter 2 and verse number 24 and 25. The word of God says, "And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you." Amen. And we know the Lord bless his word. I was born in the 17th of July, the year 1960. So you'll know now I'm 56 years of age. And was born into a family of nine children. Mom and dad were godly people. They were saved through the Faith Mission Pilgrims in the vicinity of Black Hill, Tobermore, just outside the main town of Macrofelt. And they were saved in their teenage years, and then they came together. They met during those missions, and Mom and Dad married and set up their homestead and had nine children. Well, they had more, but they lost a little boy. And unfortunately, they had a tragedy in the home. And what I can understand, Mom and Dad didn't talk a lot about it, but a pot of clothes were boiling in the stove, and something happened, and that pot of hot clothes scalded a young lad, and he tragically died from severe burns. He was called Paul. And after Mom and Dad had four children, I was born, and they called me for that young man. I didn't know till quite a number of years later. I found a little box in my mum's wardrobe, and all little books and little memorabilia, and it was all entitled Paul. And so I was inquisitive, and I asked, and my mum explained to me then that this was a tragedy that happened in their home many years before. And therefore, as godly parents, they were not, as it were, immune to sorrow, and they were not immune to tragedy. But through that, God really worked in their hearts, and God made them, as it were, stabilizers in an ungodly community. Because you see, my dad wasn't a loud person like his son. My dad was a quiet man. My mom was I would call her a peacemaker. She was always a quiet lady. But you know, their lives stood out far above their words. Their actions spoke louder than their words. There never was a time in my life that I didn't know that my mom and dad were saved. They didn't preach down their throat to me. They didn't shout at us. They led by example. And I said this morning, and I reiterate it again tonight, if I could make the impact on my children as my dad made on us and my mum made on us, then I have achieved a great amount in my life. And I have many, many happy childhood memories. We wanted for nothing. They didn't have much, but we wanted for nothing. Home was a very happy place. My dad had a full-time job, but he also kept a few pigs about them. You know the way it was. And he reared the piglets up to 100-pound weight, as it was then, and then he sold them off, and that helped to, as it were, sustain the home. My mum was good with her hands. She sewed and she knitted, and she made all her garments, and she would have made wedding dresses and different things like that. And she just taught herself because of having to. That was the environment we were reared up. We had our own hens and we grew our own vegetables. And my, it was really a pleasant place to be. So much so that many other children always ended up in our home amongst us, playing in round whatever bit of a farm we had and that sort of thing. Hadn't got much land, but just a few fields, and that was the way it was. But home was a very happy place. And Sunday, in our home, it was the Lord's Day. That was one thing. There was no, you weren't in any doubt whatsoever. It was God's day. The milkman didn't deliver the milk on a Sunday. He delivered twice as much on a Saturday. You didn't clean your shoes on a Sunday. You made sure they were cleaned on Saturday because you only had one pair of shoes and you kicked football with them and went to school during the week and then you wore them on a Sunday because they were polished up. And I can remember in those early days, I remember I didn't do that on a Saturday. And I had found myself a wee place and I was polishing my shoes on a Sunday and I had only one done. And my father caught me and he made me go to church with one polished and one not polished as a lesson that this was the Lord's day. We went to Sabbath school in the morning. We went to our morning worship. We went to an afternoon Sunday school at 3 o'clock. We went to our church at 6:30. And then we always went to a gospel meeting at 8 o'clock. That was a Sunday. And we walked. We didn't have a car. We didn't have any transport in the earlier days. Remember my brother had a bicycle and he used to ferry us up and down the road. He cycled 4 or 5 times and put us in the bar of the bike. But those were good days. And I remember us as a family going to church and coming home from meetings and singing the choruses and singing the hymns that we learned. You see, my mom and dad instilled into us the word of God and the things of God. We used to gather round whenever we come home from the meeting, and everybody took their turn to make supper. Supper on a Sunday night was about 20 scrambled eggs and toast, a big pot, and he made it up, and somebody went and did it, and then after supper, my father would have gathered us round as a family, and he would have read, and then him and mum would have prayed. That was our worship, and that was our Sunday, and those were happy days. But I was a young man growing up, and like anybody else, many other young men in our province, I was rebellious. You see, because my mum and dad were saved, because my mum and dad lived a good life, that didn't mean that I was saved. And whilst we were well behaved on Sunday and well behaved in church, because if you didn't, you got a cuff in the ear, and you'll know what that is. Well, the reality was that when we went out, then we were devilish and rascality. And my brother and me, Samuel, was very close together. We're in age, only just over a year difference in us. And we were a pair, as it were. Well, I went through primary school and all the rest of it. And then, just as I was leaving primary school to join secondary school, a mission came to a little mission hall. My mum and dad were involved in that mission hall. And there was an evangelist came and his wife. They were retired from the mission field. And it was Bert and Kathleen Wheeler. I don't know whether you've ever tell of them or not. They're both in the glory. But Bert and Kathleen Wheeler came and conducted a 3-week gospel mission. And you know, God came graciously by in that mission, because in the little village and just outside Tobermore, in that little area that we were reared in, whilst there was many missions and many meetings, sad to say, like many other areas, there was much ungodliness. But God came very strangely by in that mission, and there was a great work done in the community. Quite a number of my family come to know Christ during that mission. My dad and my mum and others in the neighborhood have been praying much for God to move, and God answered that prayer. And just the last week of that mission, I remember sitting in the meeting and God convicting me of my sin. I didn't need to be told what sin was, because I had been taught about sin. I didn't need to know what God's love was, because I had been taught about God's love. I didn't need to know what hell was again, because I had been taught. Those things were all very prevalent to me and very real to me. But that night, God convicted me of my sin. And I remember sitting in that seat, and I was in fear of being lost. And when the appeal was made that night, I put up my hand and I indicated that I wanted to come to Christ. And I remember Bert, an old man that was served the Lord faithfully in the mission field, knelt down beside me at an old form and a wooden floor. With tears running down his face, he pointed me to Christ. That was a great night. A night that will be always etched on my heart and on my mind. I remember going home that night, and there was other young men had got saved during the mission. And I remember going home and we sang with all our voices as we walked home. I remember the cows jumping the height of the hedge like something. And that hymn came to mind many years later that tells us that earth above is brighter green. Our sky above is brighter blue and earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue that Christless eyes have never seen. And you know this? The world took on a whole new dimension. I was saved. My sins were forgiven. And the joy of the Lord was in my heart. Now, when I went to high school, I have to be honest, I found it difficult. I found it extremely hard, and peer pressure and wanting to be in with the guys and be a part of everybody else. And I didn't really take my stand for the Lord. I was ashamed. I say that to my shame, because I work with young people regularly and I encourage them as much as possible. And I will say to you as members of a congregation, listen, pray for young people. Young people don't get it easy. Even from I was young till now, I can see they get it harder and harder because of peer pressure. I give in to peer pressure. I lived a double standard life. On a Sunday and at home, I was an angel. But when I was at school and out and about, I was a devil. And that's what I lived. And I lived like that for quite a number of years. I lived a two-sided life. And you know who I was fooling? I was fooling myself. Because I was miserable. I was miserable. I didn't know I was miserable. Left school, as I said, I wasn't a fan of school. Left school and got a job, started an apprenticeship. And with money, the devil always finds avenues. I was involved in a flute band. And those opportunities came along. It wasn't very long till I was introduced to alcohol and to smoking. I didn't smoke very much, I have to be honest. I really didn't like the stuff and didn't like doing it. But I did it at times to be in with the crowd. But you know, I liked alcohol and I liked dancing. And for quite a number of years, in those early, late teenage years, early 20s, I lived life as I thought to the full. The problem was I wasn't F-U-L-L, I was an F-O-O-L. I was a fool. Because I wasn't happy. My brother, my elder brother, had started to go to the Free Church in Macrofell. He had met a girl and their family were going to the Presbyterian Church, and therefore that was an attachment, and that brought him along. And he invited me. And I went to the Free Church. And you know, when I went into those meetings took me back to the nights that I sat on the mission. That's what they did. Mr. McRae was a young preacher then. He was full of fire and power and preached with great passion, a great love for souls. And God was moving in and around Macrofelt and around the area. And the church was building up, and becoming more consolidated, you know. And I remember starting to come every Sunday night. I never missed church, my own church, but I always came because the meetings were at 8 o'clock then in Markerfeld, and I was able to go as an after meeting. And I started to go. Mum and Dad didn't stand in my way. They never did that. And regularly then I started to go on a Sunday morning. But you know, I still was living in the world. Coming to church on a Sunday, enjoying the singing, enjoying the preaching. But I lived for the world. And then, you know, we went out one night. We went to a party, and then we went to the cinema. And then we called in a pub on the way home, my brother and me, and we met up with an older man that was a teacher at one of our schools at that time, and we got drunk. We came home, and we weren't able to stand too well. We drove home, believe it or not, and there was a sow pigging. We wouldn't expect Dad to be up. We were always able to get into the house and hide and all the rest of it, and is where to see them. But you know, that night was different. We were trying to get out of the car and get ourselves steadied up, and my father opened the pantry door and he saw his two boys in a drunken stupor. We sobered very quickly, I can tell you. But went to bed and all the rest of it. But I tell you something that made an impact on me. I was wakened in the morning, Sunday morning, with a mother's tears. My mom sat at the side of my bed and she broke her heart because of a wayward boy. And I remember pulling the bedclothes over my head and hiding because I was a big man, but I was just that small. I got up and got my breakfast and shrugged it off and went to church, come home, got my dinner, went out for a bit of a run, and then went back to church at night. Mr. McRae really didn't know much about me then, but that night he preached, and he preached to me. You know what he preached? He preached on a broken-hearted mother and a wayward son. He was preaching on the prodigal. And he preached about a broken-hearted mother and a wayward son. And I sat in that meeting and I thought somebody had told him everything about me. You see, God, the Holy Ghost, was convicting my heart. And that night I realized that I was a fool. And that night, after the meeting, I went round to see him. And Mr. McRae led me back to the Lord. And we read the verse, two verses, but it's the second verse that was very special. We were talking about special portions this morning, and I deliberately didn't mention this because I wanted to keep it to the night. It said, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. I stand tonight in this pulpit as I've stood any time that I've given my testimony, and I can tell you that I've had those years restored, pressed down and running over. God has been so good. I couldn't tell you how many times that he has picked me up, dusted me down, forgiven me, and helped me on my way. Because you see, we have a great God. A God who loves us, who cares for us, who looks out for us, who watches over us, who never gives us anything that is bad for us, because he's a gracious God. I told you I was 56 years of age, and I look back over my life and I can see the handiwork of God in grace and in mercy over and over and over again. And time would not permit me to tell you of God's goodness. He spared my life I became a counselor. I worked for a construction company that worked for the security forces. And there was a bomb put under my car. And God used a mentally handicapped young girl to save my life. I never got into the car. Because a young girl who could neither speak nor do anything else for herself noticed it and alerted us to the reality. God spared my life. I was involved in a shooting incident, and again God spared my life. And many a time I sit back and I say, Lord, why, when so many other young men in our province, so many other young women in our province lost their lives, and yet you spared me? God was gracious. God was good. I've been a youth leader and a Bible class teacher in our church for more years than I care to remember. And I love it with all my heart. I'm now have those that were with me in youth. I'm now having their children in our fellowship. I feel like an old man at times. But my, it's so good to work with those young people and to get alongside them and encourage them and help them and steer them. See them grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is what God does. And the Christian life is not a miserable life. And it's not a hard life. The Christian life is a good life. Dr. Paisley used to say, it's like the soles of your feet, it wears well. And so it does. And you know, as I said this morning, so often you hear people testify and you, oh, but this and that. Yes, I could tell you the downsides of things that happen. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to tell you about how God brings you through those issues. How he encourages you through those issues. How he helps you. How he sustains you. Because that's what our God does for us. And all I'm going to say in conclusion before we sing a hymn and then come to the preaching of God's word, if you're not saved, then seriously consider your position tonight. Because you see, if you're not saved, then you're lost. That's the reality. If you're not saved, you're not bound for heaven. Therefore, you're bound for hell. That's a fact. That's a reality. There's no nice way of saying it. And I thank God that I can lay my head on the pillow every night. And my wife can tell you, I snore. You don't even want to know how well I snore. I waken her, I snore that well. Because I sleep well. And it doesn't matter what crisis I have during the day, what problems I have, I can go to bed at night and I can hand my cares to God and I sleep sound. Why? Because my God cares for me. That's the reality. That's Christian reality. And we need to live it. And I trust this will be an encouragement to you that are saved. But if you're not saved, that you'll come and put your faith and trust in my Savior and know him as your own. Amen.